This is Pure Decking, show number 438 for Thursday, May 27th, 1703. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and looking to score old data center hard drives so I have a shot at mining Chia. I don't know if anybody's looking into that. That's a cryptocurrency mining based on hard drive space. It exploded in like the last couple of weeks. And if you want to buy NAS drives, good fucking luck right now. They just, I mean, miners have bought all the hard drives. So it's like, go to eBay, get old data center shit. Seriously, I was looking to buy some hard drives for my NAS, and it's like, where are all the, what happened to all the hard drive inventory? And then you start seeing new things showing up on Amazon, like the Chia miner packs for three times the cost of what it should be. Bunch of USB hard drives in it. It's like, son of a bitch. So, a little bit of station news. Probably the last couple of weeks of June, first couple of weeks of July, we're probably going to go on hiatus. I'm moving, so, you know, no, don't need to get into details other than that, but I'm not going to have the time to dedicate to doing the shows. I mean, we might hop on and do a show, but I'm likely not going to have stable internet for a bit, so I don't know quite how that's going to work. And, you know, I need to overhaul the G15 website. I mean, that WordPress has a lot of history in it, so I need to back that up first. But, I mean, it's, well, it's backed up, but by backed up, I mean, I got a little script running on the server updating it, the extra copy of it on the server so that I don't, like, if something happens, I can restore it kind of thing. But it's not a proper, like, you know, exists in multiple places backup, which is terrible practice, but you can't give me a break. It's been a decade since I built the thing. And I don't know that Icecast is the right tool for the job anymore. I mean, I like having an Icecast server, but I don't know that we need a 24x7 music stream anymore. I don't know that anybody's really using it.
Yeah, so, no, I haven't used it for quite a while.
And, yeah. I mean, we haven't been doing, you know, we haven't been cultivating artists. We haven't been doing a lot of things. I don't want to abandon Galaxy 15, and I don't want to, I don't want to stop doing shows, and I don't want to stop doing things that people enjoy, but do we really need the music going 24/7? Do I really need a dedicated stream? I mean, I could self-host a stream on a little VPS if we're only doing it for weekly shows.
It may be something to think about going into next year.
But, I mean, I've got to overhaul the website anyways. It's in desperate need of attention. And I'd probably need to move the back-end host it's on, which is be a massive pain in the behind, but it needs done. Or maybe change the back-end technology because it's still running on PHP, and that's kind of a dead end at these in this day and age. So I don't – I guess what I'm saying is – I'm open to suggestions on what people want to see out of G15. Obviously, I want to keep doing decking. I want to at least get to show 500 before we quit again, because we did quit for a while and then we brought it back. But I'd like to hit show 500. That seems like a good place to, you know, a good target, right?
And if you end pure decking, I'll start something, I suppose.
So, but I got to figure out what kind of infrastructure we really need. What do we want to do these days? I mean, you know, you don't see people running this kind of stuff anymore. So there's kind of some nostalgia to it, and the fact that we're still running our own infrastructure. Almost nobody does that anymore. Now it's all Twitch and YouTube.
I don't want to get out of not running our own infrastructure, but if you're gonna take some time off from your decking, I'll spin something up for at least one show a week. Well, I don't want to stop doing a show.
Yeah, I don't know what I want to do yet, and I mean, so I guess what I'm putting it out there is, if anybody has suggestions, shoot them to me on the subreddit or Morps on Reddit. You know, I get the PMs. Psychro sent me a link on there that was funny. I'm not using it tonight, but it was pretty funny. So I need to look into, stuff like that again. Or if you hop in the IRC, I just had to fix the IRC client on the webpage. So if you tried to connect a minute ago and it wasn't working, you can try it again. Something happened there with the client we use, and I had to fix that. But
And we could probably do a bad financial advice show.
Oh, God.
How to go bankrupt in a day. I don't know. Something.
I don't know if we would intentionally bankrupt anyone, but I wouldn't follow my advice. Not me.
Not me either, man. Maybe cat grooming tips or something. I don't know. It'd be something.
Yeah, they groom themselves. You don't have to do that much for cats.
Have you ever tried to get the little plastic tips on their claws?
No, I like keeping my skin, and it's nice skin-like consistency.
So you just poked holes in my whole theory there. See, if I did a cat grooming show, hence they groom themselves, no show prep, easy. I'm a big about no show prep, man.
There you go.
Fuck that. I used to spend hours prepping.
Depends on the temperament of the cat. One trick I found, if you put a sock over their head first, they don't want to move around as much.
It's getting the sock over their head's the challenge.
And then not laughing as they try to back out of it, although the smart ones figure out soon enough that they can just...
Yeah.
And that's when you start the whole putting the cap on their feet things. Like, yeah, can't use those right now, so you're stuck in a sock, and I'm putting little plastic tips on your toenails.
That's when they just start making those really sad noises.
I had this one cat, she's really sweet. You gave her a bath, and then she's like, please stop murdering me. Please stop murdering me. It was so heart-wrenching.
I'm melting. It's like, no, you're not.
I kind of laughed every time and sort of died inside.
So my point is, I'm open to suggestions on G15 on what we want to do with it. Obviously, I do want to keep doing the shows. I don't want to stop doing that. I do want to keep doing our own infrastructure for the shows, because the moment we try to use a YouTube or a Twitch, it's just going to be banned. It's like, why?
Because somebody made a joke. 5 minutes.
Yeah, we'll make a joke, and that'll be that. So I don't want to play that game, but.
I was reading an article yesterday that was going on the idea that all comedy is toxic and it needs to be stopped. I'm like, no.
I think people who declare things as toxic are toxic and need to be stopped.
Yeah. Well,
so
you can't stop comedy.
Making fun of people can bring you together. Nothing's better than going to a comic where he's just lampooning everyone.
Yes.
We all have differences, and we can all be annoyed at our differences, but we can all make fun of each other and come closer together with it.
Or at least have a little fun. I mean,
Yeah.
It's like, no, this is 2021. Fun is not allowed.
You got a license for that fun, mate.
Yeah, it's right here next to my Second Amendment. One second.
I'm a Catholic, but I love the whole... the Satan exorcist, the dude from the Church of Satan, was exorcising priests, Catholic priests from little boys.
Oh.
I rebuke thee. Get out of him, pedophile.
It's the visuals, madman. It's the visuals.
It's hilarious. It's terrible. But that's what makes it funny.
Anyway.
I mean, I wasn't going to go for a tranny joke. That's too low-lying fruit. I don't know. I guess pedophile's low-lying, too.
We'll just have to open every show with...
Sorry, I'm white! I'm sorry, I'm male!
That's a given.
Yeah, but I identify as a black cross-dressing transvestite hooker.
That's funny. Earlier you said
who's trans financial.
Oh, all of them can be trans financial until I'm rich.
And
then
you
I'm just going to identify as a poor person so you can't blame me.
Didn't you also say earlier you identified as trans vaccinated or whatever it was?
Oh, yeah. Trans vaccinated. You can be multi trans.
It's a spectrum, Madman. It's a spectrum.
And demonetized.
You've been fucking with this language for so long that my wife doesn't know when I'm being serious or full of shit now.
I'm also polysexual.
I'm just sitting here looking at the email that showed up in my inbox. It's from YouTube. They have preemptively demonetized us in case we decided to post to YouTube. I did get an email from YouTube the other day because I do have an account set up. I haven't posted anything on there, but I do have an account. And it was talking about changes to their terms of service, and one of them was the right to monetize. Basically, even if your videos aren't eligible to make any money because you've been demonetized or you're not part of the ad program or you don't have enough subscribers or whatever the rules are, they still have the right to put ads on your videos.
Oh, dude, I was watching the news and why it matters, and I was doing the washing up. And an ad came on, so I had wet hands. I didn't bother clicking it. And then I looked at the ad. The ad was an hour and a half fucking long. It was a giant infomercial in the middle of a 40-minute show.
Oh, that's fucked up.
I know, man. Usually I wouldn't notice these things because I click
Except
it straight
it
away.
Kept going, yeah.
Yeah, why does this ad keep going? It should be like 30 seconds max. And I looked at it. It's 1 hour 40 or something like that. That's a giant infomercial.
That's fucked.
Yeah, but the ad was longer than the show.
Yeah, it is pretty funny when you go click a 15 or 30 second clip and it wants to play a 2 minute ad.
Yeah,
but yeah, I recommend AdBlock. Oh, actually, I use uBlock on Firefox most of the time. I linked in Dojo an Android TV thing that blocks most of the ads too. So I have no since they've changed their policy such that they're going to play ads no matter what. I don't care if you block ads on YouTube. In fact, I kind of encourage it because, they're gonna run ads regardless of whether the person creating the content is getting anything out of it nowadays. And I think that makes a conflict of interest. They're going to have all the reason in the world to find some reason to declare your channel demonetized, still run the ads on it, so they're still going to collect their ad revenue, but you're not going to get anything. So is that not a conflict of interest? Am I crazy? I mean,
I don't know, man. When you're giving yourself awards for transparency and freedom,
yeah,
I think we're way out.
Peak clown world.
I don't know. Do we keep topping it every week? It just seems to get better and better. And
they're building a ladder on top of the peak of clown world.
I'm always starting to feel like those dudes that, claim to be gang stalked and shit like that. Cause shit just does not seem real. And I'm the only one who seems to be noticing. I'm like, am I going insane or is it just this fucked up?
This is why I'm going back into classic computers. They're safer and they work when your internet goes out. So,
Yeah.
Anyways. So back to the opening joke, I do actually have an article from The New Scientist on Chia. Chia, a cryptocurrency intended to be a green alternative to Bitcoin, has instead caused a global shortage of hard disks. Gene Hoffman, the president of Chia Network, the company behind the currency, admits that we've kind of destroyed the short-term supply chain, but he denies it will become an environmental drain. Bitcoin requires so-called miners to do vast amounts of useless calculations to maintain the network. But they're not useless. They're trying to solve a system that is known as proof of work. The most recent studies show that Bitcoin may currently consume 0.53% of the world's electrical supply. 0.53%.
Less than 1%.
Yeah. It's like, I get you're trying to make a point, but that's the big thing now is to attack Bitcoin as being environmentally unfriendly. And I think the next article does that too. But it's just like,
have you
looked at what Facebook and Google run in their data centers? Seriously, Bitcoin?
We called this 6 months ago. How long before they go after Bitcoin for,
Global yeah, but I was warming. Making a joke and said something know, about man. Global warming, thinking like, what's the most ridiculous thing you can accuse a digital currency of? But
yep.
Oh, what you do is you start building your data center in the basements of apartment buildings,
use it
and
as
then
a
start
heater.
Pumping the heat through the apartment. Like, we're not creating global warming; we're an environmentally friendly heating system.
Chia instead uses a proof of space approach that ditches the calculations and relies on empty hard disk space. The more space a miner devotes to the task, the higher their probability of receiving new coins. In theory, this would consume less energy, but there's been a surge in demand for hard disks since the currency launched earlier this year. Around 12 million terabytes of hard disk space is currently being used to mine Chia, having risen on an exponential curve since its launch in March. When New Scientist first reported on Chia 2 weeks ago, that figure was only at 3 million terabytes. In fact, I was looking at a Chia calculator earlier, just out of idle curiosity, because it's stupid, the curve. So, yeah, right now, if you devote a terabyte to Chia, they say it's going to be over 7 years before you win a block. So, if you... Yeah, let's just play with the slider here. How much space do you have to devote to get a payout in the next 6 months? 15 terabytes, and that's an expected time to win. Let's get that down to a lesser number. Let's say if I wanted to get something in the next month, about 1 month, 82 terabytes. Good God.
So to compare this to Bitcoin, I wonder what, how long does it take just to mine, or what resources does it take to mine ASIC Bitcoin?
Honestly, I mean, an ASIC miner uses about the same amount of power as a lower end server.
So for $1,200, I could possibly get one coin. Every what? What'd you say the
about
short one was for? I get one coin a month.
Well, for, it's a block, so
but for
that's
1,200.
About, they expect your, you say you can expect a return of about you have a 3% chance of getting here's the exchange rate is $802 per XCH, which I guess is the Chia thing. Yeah, it estimates if you're devoting that much space to it that you'll make about $2 an hour. But this thing has been going upwards. The last time I looked to get it within 30 days, it was 20 terabytes, and that was a week ago. So you better go raid some data centers if you're going to try to mine Chia. And keeping that many hard disks spinning, because apparently these things destroy SSDs as well. So they tell you, use the SSD to do the initial setup of your plots and then move them to spinning disks. But yeah, I mean, you're talking about RAID arrays, big disk things. I mean, these things are just as bad as the, keeping that much data center style drive spinning is just as bad as the GPU miners or all the ASIC miners. Because a single ASIC miner is like 800 watt, which is about the same as a mid-range server.
So have you noticed that these coin farms are sort of gone the way of the mobile phone? They were small, 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 and now they're big, 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 big again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well,
the big race with mobile phones was who could have the smallest phone. Now it's like, let's have the biggest you can that's most comfortable to fit in your pocket. That's what, and it seems like to me there with these Bitcoins and stuff like that. Now you're having to devote whole rooms to your mining setup.
Oh, sure. And, I mean, I like to tinker with this stuff. I have an ASIC miner for doing Scrypt that I thought I was going to play around with when Dogecoin was worth something. The thing's so damn loud, though, I don't really have anywhere to run it. I may modify it to make it quieter, but by the time I get it moved and modified, it probably won't be worth running. But... I don't know. I mean, these things, I want to play with the tech more than actually try to make money by mining coins. I'm not looking to start a coin mining business. Although, I think nowadays, if you want to get into the cryptocurrency game, you'd probably be better off doing day trading than trying to get in as a miner. Because that initial investment to be mining is huge for anything.
Well, Dogecoin's still sitting at 33 cents.
That's way, so, that's better. I mean, Bitcoin's way down.
Still up there, man. Yeah. Bitcoin's down, yeah.
Let's see. In theory, this could consume less energy, but there's been a surge in demand for hard disks since the currency. I think I read this part already. The disks still require energy to produce and run, and there are reports that constant reading and writing improving the mining can wear them out in weeks, rendering them useless. Hoffman says this problem only affects the cheapest disks. Well, this is why I was saying raid old data centers, is because data center drives are usually rated to last a hell. You actually can get ratings of like how many writes they're good for, and then a lot of the controllers for those drives will actually keep track of how many writes they've had. So you can go in there. Some of the higher-end drives that you'll get in the consumer space do this too. But you can actually go in there and see how many writes have been on the disk. And like, oh, is this thing been, you know, trashed in a data center? Or is this just sat there? You know, has it been like somebody's operating system disk where it's used to boot and then it does nothing the rest of its life? You get your hands on those. They're actually really good. You know, even if they're ancient. Yeah. Only affects the cheapest disks. The resulting increase in demand has caused significant price rises for hard disks, especially higher-end models. The share price of hard disk maker Western Digital has increased from 52 at the start of the year to 73. Seagate's went from 60 to 94. Hoffman says he's surprised at the speed at which the hard disk capacity devoted to Chia has grown and admits this is likely to cause disruptions to the supply chain for some time. Yeah, I found out about all this because I went to upgrade my NAS. I was like, I'd like to get some more storage space. I've got some projects that are going to need it. And, fuck. You can't find disks.
Yep.
Except unless you want to buy these things that are like six times more expensive than what they should be that are called Chia starter packs. It's like, I just wanted to get some WD Reds to throw in my Unread box. What the hell's going on? So, Hoffman says that all his hard disks sold in a year, which would hold data totaling roughly one zettabyte or a billion terabytes, were used exclusively for mining Chia, it would still use less than 1% of the energy currently used by Bitcoin. I don't know. Disks suck energy, too. However, the exact energy consumption of the Chia network is currently unknown, as the cryptocurrency is too new for researchers to produce reliable estimates. Quote, I'm pretty sure that if we had all 7 zettabytes of storage, the estimated figure for global hard disk capacity, every piece of storage out there, you shut down Google, shut down Amazon, okay, it'd still be less annual energy consumption, said Hoffman. I don't know about that. Disk arrays use a lot of power. You got a lot of spinning motors in there, and most of those aren't actually running all the time. If you're sitting there with something that's actively mining and wearing out cheap disks, that means it's keeping these disks active 24/7, so they're all yanking at max. I think they're probably using a good chunk of energy. Go ahead, are you?
No, I didn't have anything, man.
Oh, okay. I'm just thinking they're basing these numbers off of casual use on a PC rather than looking at what it is if it's never turned off.
Well, then if you want to do it right, you need to look at the energy usage in a data center, because that's how you do large disk arrays for this kind of stuff. It's not practical. I mean, sure, could you go buy, you know, 100 high terabyte USB 3 disk drives and controllers and start taking every random laptop and computer you have in the house and getting these drives online to mine Chia? You could. You'll probably have a house fire, and you'll probably kill a few machines by, you know, pulling too hard on the USB built into the machines. I guess you could do these, you know, you get some high-end power hubs, but there actually is an upper limit to the number of devices you can plug into these, and I don't remember how many hubs you can daisy-chain. Back in the day, I think it was like 5, but so could you do it with a whole bunch of USB disks plugged into consumer hardware? Sure. It's going to start failing very fast. If you're serious about this, you're getting data center hardware. And data center hardware usually has dual power supplies and sucks power. That's how it works. I mean, it's not that bad. You know, each power supply is usually something like 400 to 800 watts, depending on what's in them. Disk controllers usually on the upper end of that. Because you've got a lot of spinning motors in those things. Plus, they're loud and heavy. So, I mean, I don't know. I this idea that spinning discs use less technology than your or use less energy than your processor. I don't know, not in the scale you guys are talking about. So, he does concede that the growth of Chia will require significant resources. Frankly, a Tesla isn't green compared to a bicycle. Okay. Yeah. They go on about it. But yeah, Chia is supposed to be greener, but if people are running hard disks at that scale, I doubt it. I don't think this guy really, he thought, oh, proof of space rather than proof of, everybody will just devote a bit of hard disk space on their computer. No, that's not what happens with these. People go nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, give it 12 months, man.
Yeah, this one might crash and burn. It's too new. So we'll see. I mean, if the coin keeps holding value, then yeah, you'll have people running it, and unfortunately running up the price of hard disks of all things.
How many digital coins have actually died?
Oh, a ton. Because it's all open source, right? So if I wanted to start up, G15 coin, I could go grab the source code to Ethereum or Bitcoin or Dogecoin. That's actually how they started Dogecoin, by the way, is they just forked Ethereum, I think, one of the other S-Crypt coins. Changed the name, came up with their own numbers, put it out there as a meme, and it's worth 30 cents a coin, apparently. So, I mean, yeah, we could start G15 coin, fork the code, build our own base, mine it up so we've each got a million coins sitting in a wallet somewhere, and then publish it to the world. What's, what makes ours special? I don't know. We need a gimmick. I don't know what that gimmick would be. We could come up with a gimmick.
Every trillionth coin mined gets a free pizza.
I mean, yeah. That's not a very good gimmick, but it's a gimmick. They all come with one scratch-off lottery ticket from a random state.
Well, no, I don't want to go all of them, because... That's way too many lotto tickets to buy. This won't be profitable. I'm choosing large enough numbers that I don't have to buy very many things.
Yeah, I don't know. But, yes, doing a coin offering is easy. Not getting arrested for fraud or setting up a current, running afoul of the currency laws is a little bit more difficult. But yeah, I mean, the source code's out there. You just grab it, fork it, set up your own miners, and yeah, you run the network private for a little while to build it up, and then you publish it. Do an IP, do an initial coin offering. Lots of information out there on how to do that if you want to spin up your own coin. Like I said, you just need some kind of a gimmick to get people interested. So. Next article is from Ars Technica, continuing talking about crypto. China will likely ban all Bitcoin mining soon. This has been floating around for a while. I mean, this has come up how many times now? Where they think China's just going to ban Bitcoin?
Yeah, for at least the last 2 years.
Bitcoin took investors on another roller coaster ride over the weekend after a top regulator in China announced a crackdown on mining, a new tack in the country's ongoing fight against the cryptocurrency. The government will crack down on Bitcoin mining and trading behavior and resolutely prevent the transfer of individual risks to the society, said in a statement, which was issued by the Financial Stability and Development Committee of the State Council. There's a business card. The country's cabinet equivalent. The committee is chaired by Vice President Lui He, who acts as President Xi Jinping's top representative on... I'm sorry, I mispronounced Winnie the Pooh. Didn't mean to do
there
that.
There you go.
Just realized that. I'm sorry. That's my mistake. Who acts as President Winnie the Pooh's top representative on economic and financial matters. Quote, the wording of the statement did not leave much leeway for cryptocurrency mining. Li Yi, chief researcher or research fellow at the Shanghai Academy of Social Sciences, told the South China Morning Post, quote, when all mining activities are banned in China, it will be a turning point for the fate of Bitcoin as a large chunk of the processing power is taken out of the picture. Really? Really? You really think that's what's going to happen? They're just going to stop? Come on.
Oh, yeah, we've been beaten, dude. Let's go home. There's no dissident ever.
I mean, fucking really? You think these guys aren't just going to pack up all of their hardware and cross a border or sell it to somebody else who's willing to set up a Bitcoin mining operation somewhere else?
Or heroin's been illegal in China for a long time.
However,
it's still there. So I'm thinking we have digital heroin that I don't have to import. And the only thing trying to tie me to this is an electric bill. I'm not mining Bitcoin, sir. I'm gold farming and wow, look at my employees that I beat daily and feed rice.
So, I've got a business idea. We buy up all the miners as the Chinese companies shut down and seek to move it off. You know, we'll partner with them, but we buy up all the miners. We're not actually buying it up. We're selling it for trade, for shares of our new crypto mining company. We go out to the Australian outback. RU knows where the best place to do this would be, I'm sure. We set up a nuclear reactor, and we start putting all the Bitcoin miners on it.
There you go.
Nobody's going to fucking notice out there. It's already radioactive.
Oh, do you think this would work near that big crater that no one goes to?
Nah, because it's magnetic.
Oh.
Yeah, it would be no good for the disks.
Well, Bitcoin miners don't actually have disks in them. They got a little bit of flash storage and a whole bunch of ASIC arrays. So,
yeah, I'm just not sure of how big the magnetic field is.
No. Yeah, but at a certain point, it starts fucking with shit. So that's the...
I'm just not sure, but I do know that certain parts are magnetic, where those something slammed into the earth, and then there's Woomera, which is still mostly radioactive. Yeah, we could probably find somewhere.
So, yeah, and you just partner with these guys, you get a reactor set up out there, nobody's going to notice, it's already, you know, irradiated, and, yeah, you just get the miner set up out there. We hire some weekend warriors to go out there and make sure that nothing's caught fire every once in a while.
Problem is a mouse plague right now. Be no good.
Yeah, I heard about that. Apparently, there are just stupid amounts of them invading people's houses and things like that.
We've lost one telephone exchange, and someone's house is burnt down so far.
Well, so, that's one way to get rid of mice, I guess.
Yeah, it's bad, dude.
But there's, I heard about it because apparently it's impacted some of the crop yields. Like, the mice were just eating everything.
Well, we had, like, the largest crop ever brought in last year. Like, the largest tonnage. So I'm guessing a lot of farmers stored seed the years coming. And that's why we've got a mouse plague.
Lovely.
It happens every now and then. It's part of farming.
They not let you poison the mice?
Oh, dude, you can't. There's so many of them. Like my wife grew up on a farm. They had multiple mouse plagues. It's just teaches kids the value about life. You know? Not all lives are worth saving.
Invest in farm cats, I guess.
No cat could keep up. Like locusts, no one really knows how it starts, but when it does, just wrecks everything. But they'll die out eventually. Cycle.
Here we are. Chinese government isn't just worried about financial stability. Commentary piece in Xinhua News, the Communist Party's official media outlet, elaborated on the government's stance, voicing concerns about Bitcoin's role in money laundering, drug trafficking, and smuggling. It also mentioned Bitcoin's proliferate energy use. Like, man, they have really managed to get that seeded, haven't they?
That meme
has really gotten planted in the last couple of months, that Bitcoin is bad for the environment.
I know the next one they're planning on doing is the word science. I know it's already almost there, but it will soon be the next big one.
The word science? Like what? Like as a religion?
Yep.
Lovely.
Questioning anything means you would be questioning science. That's
okay.
The
show
next
me the data.
Big...
If you're going to say I'm claiming, if you're going to claim I'm questioning science, show me the proof.
Dude, I don't have to show you
the
data because you're just
paper?
A fucking science
data?
Denier. I don't have to show you the paperwork because you're just a goddamn science denier.
But
and
science
don't...
is a method that you're supposed why do to I question.
Have... Why do I have to educate you? Go educate yourself. You're ignorant.
Okay, then tell me what to Google to find the paper. You're claiming science as your backing. I want
to
see your damn write-up.
I'm not here
show
to,
your
I'm not
fucking
here to
work.
I'm not here to educate you. Go get yourself an education. Then we can have the conversation.
The
wow, you almost sound,
that's part of science.
You almost sound like those lazy assholes I argue with at work who just say that's not fair and then walk out of the room without explaining
that's,
why.
You see what I mean? When
yeah, I know.
They get thrown. Yeah,
no,
we just did that for an exercise and what's about to happen
just,
in your
just
life,
a little
people.
Skit. Just a little skit.
Bitcoin mining is ruining the planet. Ridiculous.
You think China banning its mining will affect its trading?
No. It's going to do nothing to it. Bitcoin will be as healthy as people allow it to be. You know, and at the end of the day, I'm pretty...
Rats is in the IRC, and he just I guess autocorrect nailed him. My name is now apparently Mordor.
Nice.
And he says he does listen to the music occasionally, not enough to mind if it goes down. I don't know about Russ, dude. I was just thinking about redoing it. No donations, no PayPal store, no merch, no Bitcoin address. There is no money involved in Galaxy 15 Radio. We're not playing that game. Are you and I sat down and figured that out, God, 6 years ago now? No, it's longer than that.
Dude, it's 12 years.
Good God, has it been 12
11
years?
11 years, yep. We've been doing it longer than that, but we formally agreed on it about 11 years ago.
Yeah.
Behind a dumpster, and it was certified and notified by a raccoon.
Right next to Suave's high friend throwing hotel dishware against the wall.
Yeah.
So yeah. No, there's no money in this. One, we don't want to deal with the drama that brings. But two, when we were initially setting this up, we were collecting various artists to stream on the music side of things. And if we were making any money off of it and not paying the artists, that's not cool. But we never thought we'd make enough money to actually be able to pay the artists anything, so we just decided let's just do this as a hobby. So.
And trust us, this has worked out better than most friend shows that just do it as a hobby. There aren't many that have been around this long. Like we've been around over 10 years now.
Well, the last couple of times I've tried to quit, you know, you've blackmailed me or you know, threatened to, you know, hostage take and
I'll give you your turtle back. I'm sorry the rabbit died in transit. It's not my fault.
I didn't think soccer teams, right? Because the turtle's now been painted.
I didn't think, dude. I poked the air holes in after I put the rabbit in the box. Hindsight, I shouldn't have done that.
But on the bright side, you're going to save on feeding costs. Oh, and it decorated the box. That's pretty red color now.
If you heard us earlier, Haratz, if Morps decides not to do Pure Decking for a bit, I'll step up and do another weekly show.
Well, we're definitely going to be taking a good
we'll
chunk of time off because I'm going to be moving at the end of June. So, you know, and that's always a pain in the butt. I got to tear down all of my systems. I got to make sure I get good internet hooked up at the new place. I'm probably going to fuck up the audio in transit. I mean, I've got cables I know I need to replace, so they're probably not going to survive. I want to redo some of my main rig. I want to set up a dedicated comms box. Did I talk about that on the show? I know I talked about it. So
yeah,
the idea, because Discord collects data, IRC clients collect data, everything collects data this day and age. I'm going to set up a dedicated machine that's got enough grunt to run virtual machines, and that's going to be my communications box. So I have a VM that runs TeamSpeak, a VM that runs, you know, the Discord stuff that I use for 3D printing and some of the other channel stuff. You know, if I want to get into any, like, you know, if I need to hop on a social media site for something, you know, Facebook Marketplace or something like that, that's going to get its own dedicated VM, because you can't stop everything from collecting data, but you can at least isolate it so all it gets is the bare minimum of stuff. So that's, I'm thinking probably this little Ryzen mini rig, because that'll have enough grunt to be able to run a VM or two at a time. And, it's a ASRock 350. What processor did I stick in there? Ryzen 5 2200, I think, if I'm remembering right. I might be misremembering, but something in those lines. So, you know, it's got a stupid amount of RAM in it for a machine its size. But anyways, anything else to say on this China article? I don't think there is.
No, not really.
All right.
I'm just thinking, I don't know how it affected with trading, but losing a billion customers, if they actually are able to stamp it out, has got to do something.
Oh, yeah. You're going to tank the value of Bitcoin for a while. It'll be a fantastic buying opportunity, because you'll see the miners start to come back up. But the other thing that will do is that will significantly impact the rate of difficulty increase, because you'll see a lot of the miners drop out of the pool while they figure out where to move them or how to hide them. And because you will see a whole bunch of ASICs hit the market super cheap if that happens, right? Because you're going to see these guys liquidating it out and trying to get as much money as they can before, you know, the good old CCP comes in to claim everything they can. So you'll see Bitcoin take a dive. You'll see ASIC miners flood eBay and things like that. And you'll see those get all snapped up. So for a lull there, you'll have a buying opportunity on Bitcoin after it's crashed out, because it'll start coming back. There's way too many people too heavily invested in it, and I don't mean Elon Musk. There's too many individual people heavily invested in Bitcoin for it to stay dead for very long. You'd have to, you know, you'd have to have multiple governments banning it all at the same time and making it impossible to do transactions in. Which, that's one of the things that's scary about what China was saying, is how they want to ban even doing transactions in it because they think people are using it to money launder, which is true. There are people using it to money launder, but
there are people using the yuan to money launder.
That's the thing. Any currency is used in a crime. It can be used in crime, right? So,
Yeah, let's move on to the next story.
Next story is from Reuters, or Reuters if you're trying to piss people off. I forget which pronunciation makes people mad. Twitter and Facebook have been told to open their databases in Russia by July. Facebook, nice. Facebook, Twitter, and other social networks must have databases of Russian users on Russian territory by July 1st or face fines, the Interfax news agency said, cited communications regulator Roskomnadzor said, saying on Wednesday, Russia is considering legislation that would force foreign technology companies to open offices in Russia or face penalties such as advertising bans as part of Moscow's wider efforts to exert greater control over big tech. Google and Facebook were fined on Tuesday for failing to delete content Moscow deems illegal, while Twitter has been the victim of punitive slowdowns since March. Twitter, Facebook, and others must localize their databases of Russian users by July 1 or face a fine of up to 18 million rubles. Wait, really? 18 million rubles is only $245,100?
I don't know what the conversion is.
So, they're going to pay that. They're not going to move over.
Yeah. They're just going to pay
for
the
non-compliance
fine.
Because that's like nothing. So I was like, 18 million rubles, or, you know, couch change. Wait, what? The deputy head of Roskomnadzor, Milos Wagner, cited as saying on Wednesday, Facebook, Twitter, and that guy did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Two companies have already been held administratively responsible last year for failing to comply with this demand, Wagner said. Facebook and Twitter were fined 4 million rubles in February 2020 for breaching Russian data law. Wagner said Facebook has paid the fine, but Twitter is still appealing. He says that guy was still waiting for detailed information on how the two companies would meet the data law requirements by July 1. He told Interfax, I can't say this guy's name, it's got too many vowels in it, told Interfax that Apple, Samsung, and PayPal were among the more than 600 foreign companies to have localized data in Russia. Microsoft's LinkedIn is blocked in Russia after a court found it breached the data storage rule passed in 2015, which requires all data about Russian citizens to be stored within the country. So yeah, apparently $1 is about 77 or 73.44 rubles.
I know where I'm thinking of vacationing. Cool architecture and stuff in Russia. And if my money goes that far, so long as they let me leave eventually, this could be fun.
That's the problem, madman.
No, rats, it's so that the Russian government's equivalent of the NSA can make data mine.
And it would help protect some of their civilians from foreign scammers.
Well, that's what he's asking. Is this a Silicon Curtain in the next few decades so they or to try to block the NSA from data mining? It's like, I think it's more to do with their own access to that data, because if it's within their borders, they can just demand access. And I think that's a large part of it is they, I mean, it's, I mean, by demand access, I'm sure they have a court system that'll, you know, issue warrants and then, you know, go in and do data seizures just like, you know, the states does and things like that. But I don't know what the current state of the Russian courts is. The last time I looked, they didn't care too much about organized crime. So I kind of figure it's somewhat corrupt. I mean, if Putin says, fuck you, I mean, what are you going to do, right? So
It would be right for the Russian government to spy on their people, but it also makes it easier for the Russian government to protect their people from foreign adversaries.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know that it's an entirely bad policy that it's like if it's Russian citizens, their data ought to be stored Russian side so that they're subject to Russian law. I mean, and that doesn't flow poorly. I'm just questioning the validity of Russian law. go ahead, madman.
I was going to say, if you're in a country that actually protects your rights, this is a good thing for those citizens.
So, I think so
the question is, do you believe the country's going to protect your rights or not?
Considering this is a country that has a history of gulags, Not so sure.
But it does do some other things. Like, if you want to conserve your culture, you have to control what's being put into it. And this is a way of doing that.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Rat says, I heard this will let Russia raise the drawbridges on internet connections to outside. Yes, that is also possible that they could absolutely sever. And Russia has talked about doing that before, about severing themselves off and making their own internet. China's talked about it too, actually.
Well, China has pretty much done it.
They've tried. Their firewall doesn't work as well as they advertise.
But it's pretty much the average person is blocked out.
And it's more because the average person is too afraid to look into how to get around it than actually anything else. But there's several other countries that have talked about trying to segment themselves off and make their own internet because they don't like the influence of foreign companies or foreign, you know, powers. And a lot of them think it's, you know, the United States fucking with them through Twitter and Facebook and things like that. So
it's not the United States. It's fucking Silicon Valley.
Well, I mean, if you're some of these other countries, I mean, look how quick they are to shut off internet in Honduras and places like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I don't. The problem is, I don't know that I can say that they're wrong. You know what I mean?
At this point, I can't say it either.
And that's the problem, because from a pure ideological point of view, no, you should never cut off communication. You should let these people do it. And these countries, and you know, if you want a Russian social network, well, the Russians ought to be able to start one up on their end. I mean, I get it. And, you know, you shouldn't need to segment the Russian network from the United States network from the China network. But idealism and practicality are going to come butt heads on that one at some point. So I kind of wonder if it wouldn't be better if we did segment off some of these countries, because I mean, think of the amount of spam that would suddenly not have to deal with.
Yeah, and
bullshit on the internet that I wouldn't have to deal with if we blocked some of these countries permanently.
Other issues is if you're going with the pro free speech method of we should all be able to talk, but we don't have that now with everyone interconnected.
That's true. That's true.
None of the major carriers are pro free speech. They all have some guidelines, whether you agree with them or not. So if you're in a country and you disagree with those guidelines, the only way to force them to change it is to set up your own and kick the other people out.
But man, they're allowing us to say on Facebook that the virus came from a lab now. They're allowing us.
Now that it doesn't matter, they've already achieved their goals. The clown world is happening.
Well, it's sort of like GM saying how now we have to work towards electric cars now that we know how to make and sell electric cars. It's, you know, they right up until they had a product to sell, they didn't give a fuck. But
yep.
I don't know, man. I just rats. I have no idea. I haven't looked into the Estonian stuff. Apparently, they have a single ID card that, you know, is your bank account and lets you vote online. So I haven't looked into it at all. I don't know.
I will do some research tonight. Sounds interesting.
Next, that has got to be ripe with being targeted. Even if it's secure, that's got to be targeted.
Oh, yeah. Next one's from Torrent Freak. An anti-piracy company cited as the sender of a DMCA notice targeting an entirely legal copy of Ubuntu, which is a Linux distribution for anybody who doesn't know. You know, open source, free. They tell you to distribute it. The best part was it was from the Canonical server, the company that makes Ubuntu. It was their torrent tracker.
So something that I can download for free, and I'm encouraged to download from free for free
over BitTorrent. Yes,
their server, the guy that's giving this away for free, is being targeted with a DMCA complaint.
No. Users downloading it were targeted with a DMCA complaint. So, okay, I need to explain some things because this article has a few points wrong. DMCA complaints, when they hit an ISP, don't know who you are. They have an IP address and a timestamp. Okay? So, what happens is there are companies that will try to monitor for certain bits of content online. Music videos and movies are kind of your big ones, right? And they will have like a lawyer on staff or a couple of them. And they have bots that monitor BitTorrent streams. So what they will do is they will connect to a BitTorrent stream. I think they still monitor things like LimeWire and FrostWire too, so they'll search on there for their content, you know, for whatever it is, you know, whatever thing they're designing to look for, and anything that matches, they're going to log the IP address and the timestamp they saw it. So with BitTorrent, it's easy. You connect to the swarm, you log every IP address you see and the timestamp you saw it, and you disconnect, right? So one of these companies, which is called OPSEC, of all things, decided to connect to Canonical's torrent stream for Ubuntu, likely thinking it was something else. And, you know, somebody's probably shared it on a forum or a tracker somewhere. So they connected to it, thinking it was IP they had a license to track, because that's what they'll do, is they will get they will get permission from the rights holders to try to track people pirating the, you know, the music or movie or whatever it is online, and then they'll send settlement notices. And the settlement notice is usually something along the lines of, here's an IP, here's a timestamp, you know, you need to identify who this is and send our notice to them. We want, you know, $900 in settlement or $500 or whatever, you know, whatever the settlement they're asking for is. and they expect you to turn around and tell them as the ISP who it is. And when I worked for the school, you know, we acted as an ISP for our students, basically. So I would get these letters, and they very much expected us to identify what student was sharing something on Frostwire, of all things, and then rat them out so they could sue them and demand settlement letters. And, of course, we didn't do that. We set up a different policy in the school to deal with it and had somebody, I think it was a lawyer, I don't remember now, it's been so long, whether they were an actual lawyer or just, you know, somebody looked that, you know, somebody told us our policy, you know, was enough to satisfy Digital Millennium Copyright Act. So we went with it. And because I'm me and I was in charge of it at the time, I wrote a script that automated it and pissed a lot of people off because it worked really well. Anyways, yeah, because I'd got tired of dealing with a couple hundred DMCA complaint notices every day. So I wrote a script that handled it. You know, I solved the problem. Oh, boy, that was fun. So anyways, what's happened here is for some reason, these guys connected to Canonical's Ubuntu torrent, flagged all the IPs, and sent settlement notices to some of them. Of course, that's not what they claim happened, so let's read the article. Yesterday, we reported that Reddit user NateNate60 had received a DMCA notice, apparently from Comcast, declaring that he'd breached copyright law by downloading and sharing a legal copy of Ubuntu. We have received a notification of a notification by a copyright owner or its authorized agent reporting an alleged infringement of one or more copyrighted works made on or over your Xfinity internet service, the posted notice reads. The copyright owner has identified the IP address associated with your Xfinity account at the time the source of the infringing works, it continues, adding that NateNate60 should search all of his devices connected to his network and delete the files mentioned. I saw the screenshot. It flat out said like Ubuntu 18.04 server or something like that. I mean, it's like, yeah, it was Ubuntu. It was an open source project that actively encouraged people to share it on BitTorrent because it uses less bandwidth than hosting it on a server.
Is Canonical committing fraud with this? They're
no.
attempting to profit off of someone else's work.
No, Canonical's not profiting. No. It's all open source software. Canonical's fine. OPSEC, on the other hand, probably is.
Yeah.
Yeah, OPSEC, I mean, that's a bad faith copyright claim. Somebody needs to sue them. So, anyways.
They're attempting to claim to get money off of a product they didn't make.
And that Canonical would not have given them, you know, authorization to act as an agent for. Yes. According to Xfinity Notice, the sender was OPSEC Security. So, to find out more, they Torrent Freak contacted the anti-piracy company for an explanation that came in late last night. In a response from ARPSEC marketing communication manager Amanda Hershey, the company explained that the notice was malicious and sent to damage its reputation. Somebody's making it up to make us look bad. Yeah, right. OPSEC Securities. Well, SEC is short for security, so Operational Security DMCA notice sending program was spoofed on Wednesday, May the 16th, by unknown parties across multiple streaming platforms. That's interesting, because I think the screenshot was dated for the 24th. Yeah, this is somebody in marketing making shit up, trying to cover their company's ass. They don't know, have a clue of what's actually happened. The content in question appears to be Ubuntu Linux ISO. We have incontrovertible evidence that proves these DMCA notices were not perpetrated or originated within OPSEC Security. Why OPSEC references multiple streaming platforms is unclear. People do not stream Ubuntu packages. They download them, in this case via torrents, distributed by Ubuntu's own tracker. And while OPSEC says it has incontrovertible evidence that shows the DMCA notices were not sent by the company, it has yet to reveal the details in public. You know, if you set up your email correctly, it's pretty fucking hard to spoof your domain these days. You know, if both the sending and receiving server are set up with the DNS keys, I'm blanking on the name of that at the moment. But yeah, if you set up the DNS entries for your domain so that only your authorized servers are allowed to send, it's a lot harder to spoof your domain. Now, it's easy to spoof your domain with like one letter changed, but it's a lot harder to spoof your domain. OPSEC's enforcement efforts are occasionally spoofed by a third party in an attempt to damage OPSEC's reputation. These attempts are easily identifiable and easily disproven, the company explains. While the security company says the third parties are spoofing its system, it does not explain how that was possible. And at least in this case, bad DMCA notice apparently was not easily identifiable since it clearly managed to cause confusion. So they go on, you know, Torrent Freak, whoever wrote this for Torrent Freak has no idea how any of this works. And they've got a whole bunch of speculation. And both OPSEC and Canonical say they're taking action. OPSEC statement is helpful to an extent, raises more questions. You know, they reached out to Canonical. Canonical says that, you know, we are notifying appropriate authorities. They're starting their own investigation because they probably need to sue OPSEC for attempting to act as their agent without permission. So they're saying that it was spoofed. And here's the thing. It very well could have been, because these DMCA notices are email, usually email with a bit of XML attached to it. And most places do automate these things because they get so many of them. So what's happened is some spam box, you know, whatever, you know, complaints or DMCA at Comcast or whatever, you know, whatever address they say for DMCA complaints, got an email claiming to be from OPSEC, identifying this guy's IP address and time, and claiming the infringed file was Ubuntu Linux, because the screenshot actually said Ubuntu Linux, right? So could it have been a spoofed email? Yes. Nobody maintains a list of approved senders for these addresses because you get so many from so many different places. There's lots of ambulance-chasing lawyers who've turned to DMCA complaints. So it could have been spoofed. I don't think it was, because it probably matched all the formatting correctly, which admittedly is not that hard to do. There's lots of examples of these things out there online. So, you know, you could totally, you know, pick out a few that you didn't like and make them look bad by doing things like, you know, spoofing their emails, you know, for like Ubuntu torrents and things like that. But most people ignore these things. I know a lot of ISPs round file them. They won't admit that because you're supposed to comply with DMCA law, but I on the down low, yeah, they don't pay too much attention to these things anymore because it's all automated and there's almost never any follow-up, right? They expect you to turn around and tell them who it was so they can sue the individual users. Most ISPs don't do that. They just forward the complaints on, thinking, well, this is between some company and the user. We don't need to get involved. So now the dumbest thing to do if you get one of these complaints is to reply to it, because congratulations, you've just told the told the people who want to sue you who you are. So if you do get one of these complaints, for one thing, stop sharing bullshit. In my experience, when you're getting DMCA complaints, now admittedly, it's been a decade since I dealt with this stuff. Maybe not a decade, but good God, 7 years. It's been a long time since I've dealt with this stuff. But in my experience, you very rarely got a DMCA complaint for a movie or for music that was any good. It was usually the mass market stuff and rap that you would get DMCA complaints for. And like, really, you know, your blockbuster movies and things like that. But, you know, it was because it was whatever was being marketed. They didn't give a crap about stuff that was old. And 9 times out of 10, the people processing the complaints, if they saw something good, like Pink Floyd or Army of Darkness, they'd probably just delete it. I might have done that a few times. It's like, no.
You would never do that, more pure by the book.
So I'm just saying, most ISPs these days don't turn around and tell the people filing the DMC complaints who their customers are. They just forward the complaints on. So one, if you get one of these things and it's from your ISP, Do not reply to it. There's no reason to tell the people who want to sue you for copyright infringement who you are. Especially because I've seen enough of these things to know that they're bullshit. I've gotten DMCA complaints from flipping printers. Now, nobody likes, network-connected inkjet printers. But I don't think they're running FrostWire. And I don't think they were sharing Little Yeezy's latest rap album. Just saying. Because I remember looking up more than once an IP address of a freaking printer and being like, okay, what the hell? Two, if that is somebody smart enough to spoof a printer, proxy off a printer to share music or movies over BitTorrent, they're putting it in the work. Let them. if somebody's going through that much trouble, I don't know that I care enough. I do remember having one guy who was running a seed box out of his dorm, and he had his machine set up to randomize his MAC address every time it booted up. So we probably had 20 blocks on his account. Because we knew who it was, but we just kept blocking machines, and finally I had to let my boss know. It's like, this is like the 20th time I blocked this guy. If you look at his Macs, they're randomly generated. He's got a seed box or something. They actually had to go kick him out of the dorms because it turns out he was also stealing hardware from the labs. Yeah, I sent him out there to check it because it's like, this guy's got some kind of a seed box and he's evading our bans, so... you might want to look into this policy-wise. They go out there and find all this, lab equipment with, school ICN numbers slapped on the end of it. And, projectors and shit he's stolen out of classrooms. It's like, fuck! do not reply to these DMC complaints. Do not tell the people who want to sue you who you are. What usually ends up happening when they're actually doing lawsuits is they'll sue the ISP to get discovery done, figure out who owns the IPs, drop the lawsuit against the ISP, then turn around and sue the customers. Now, that one's a little bit more difficult because, you've got this whole legal chain thing, and it's an abuse of the court systems. But those are a little bit more real, and you'll get shit in the mail, not an email address. When you get an email saying you're being sued, even if it's from a real company, they probably, especially if it's from your ISP, they probably don't know who you are. They're hoping the ISP is going to turn around or that you're going to be dumb enough to respond to it. If you get a registered thing in the mail saying you're being sued, okay, now you need a lawyer up. But, it sounds like he's got great stories. Seedbox man, yeah, I don't know. Apparently he was trying to sell the hardware on eBay, so I think it was just somebody who... head issues. So wasn't the same guy who I don't want to tell that story now that I think about it. That story's not good. We're not back in the day, iTunes used to share everything on your computer, everything in your media library out to other people.
I could see that turning out badly.
That turned out poorly. We're just going to leave it at that. The FBI got involved, so that'll tell you what's... Did network security for a university. Seen some shit, dude. Yeah, as annoyed as I get with some of the shit I'm dealing with now in the corporate world, it's like, at the same time, it's like, well, at least I'm not having to call the FBI over this shit today, so there's that. There is that.
And it probably pays better.
Significantly better. So, you know what? Tor exit node for a project. Tell, are you the Estonia stuff a bug? Okay, rats. Because we're going to... I posted it, but we're not going to talk about this. Apparently, the DC attorney is suing Amazon on antitrust grounds, claiming it raises its prices illegally. sure, why not?
Oh, rats, I'm already over the all over this Estonia ID card with the interesting stuff. Interesting stuff.
Yeah, apparently. So what he wants me to tell you is they have a chip in them, like credit cards set up in the 2000s.
Yeah, it's encrypted. Yeah, it's encrypted. You get encrypted email. There's a lot of stuff here that you can take advantage of. I don't know the system well enough to really start looking at like how to take advantage of it just yet. But I will look at some other places online later on to see how it's being used. They vote on the internet and everything with this. The encryption is meant to be that good. So,
well, if they've got a proper identifier in there, the only hope there is that somebody doesn't clone your card.
Well, that's where I've got to go looking for how to buy these numbers and stuff like that. I mean, purely for investigative terms. But,
purely for educational purposes.
Well, I just want to see if how much they cost to buy, you know, because price is going to be how valuable they are.
Yeah, I mean, if they're more than $10, hey, that means that system's pretty good.
Pretty good, you know. It comes with a national ID number, cryptographic keys, public key certificates, banking. Yeah, it's used for everything, man. You can't do shit in Estonia without this card.
So, Rats, the thing you got to understand about RU is once he was introduced to the concept of Google dorking, he took to it like a fish to water.
A little too well.
So, yeah, he's...
Especially when I started doing the .gov searches.
Yeah, I was
going
to say,
afternoon.
You got yourself in trouble trying to send shit to journalists at one point. So, I mean, it's like, hey, look what I found. So,
I managed to Google dork my way into our welfare system and print forms out from my desktop in places I shouldn't have been, and I meant to have been working for the government to do that. So,
you could always go back to scaring giraffes. That could be fun.
I've been back to the giraffe enclosure for a while. Get back there. I've been into the penguins, man.
Oh, Rats. Okay. Google dorking is a generic term. It doesn't mean you're actually using Google. Bing and Cyrix are actually better sources for this. But Rats, if you ever meet him, you won't know it's him. He won't admit to it. Okay. If you're ever on a bus and you see an Australian man convince a mother to punch his own son in the dick or her own son in the dick, that's probably RU.
It's just a bit of compliance reasoning.
So, anyways.
Mental fucky-fucky?
Knowing concept, you find techniques. It varies based on the search engines, but it's probably the easiest one to start with is in title, you want index of.
Index of.
That's probably the easiest one to start with, and that'll start getting you that. .pdf in the URL is another good one.
And whatever your governmental addresses are at .whatever. Yeah, what is it? I think you're German, so .eu or something like that. And use the word secret, sensitive, to your eyes. Encrypt. Shred is another good one. Delete, all different search terms depending on what you want, and then
classification is another good one because you'll find you'll find companies that have classification levels, and they're usually fairly guessable terms. So once you see how they're doing it once or twice, you can figure out what the higher level ones are.
Yeah, internal, that's another good one. Once you figure it out, it's a little difficult to start with. It's only because I'm dyslexic, but once you get the rhythm of it, Google or your search engines will start asking if you're a robot, and you'll have to start doing captures just to use your search engine. So there are plenty of instructables out there. It's probably YouTube tutorials, but if you're interested, start with index of.
Actually, if you really want to get into it, Rats, it's a bit dated these days, but Johnny Long has a book called No Tech Hacking. It's free. You'll find the PDF. Just look for it. And he's got a lot of information on getting started in there. But in our use case, it was more like the term is Google dorking. Here's a few introductory bits. And I came back the next day and he's like, so I was digging into the welfare system that I found. By. It's like, oh, fuck, dude. He's like, oh, yeah. And I found all these cameras. And yeah, you kind of went for broke once you find out about it. Which is all good fun. I mean, it's all there.
It's a lot of fun, man. You don't change anything. Don't try and hack anything. Just remember, it's like walking on a beautiful beach. Don't leave any junk.
So I took one of our sysadmins one time, and I gave him a little bit more complicated Google dork. Specifically, I had him, because I didn't tell him what it was doing, but I had him punch in the configuration, the terms that show up in a WordPress's config.ini for its database. And we found one. And he goes, what is that? Well, pull up your SQL client. What? Pull up your SQL client. So he does. You know, walk him through connecting to that IP address. Well, what username? Well, what does it say right there? Use that username. He goes, wait, are we logging into somebody else's database? I'm like, yeah, punch in that password. He goes, there's no way this works. I'm like, yes, it does. No, there's no way. So he punches in the password, and it puts him right in that guy's database account. And he goes white as a sheet because he realizes he just hacked somebody's WordPress site because I walked him through it without telling him what he was doing. Once he figured it out, he closed it, and he goes, dude, that wasn't cool. He felt bad because he broke in somebody's WordPress site through a Google dork.
Yeah, someone throw that at Cycross and just put that into Google and start with the first one.
Index of PDF. All right, I'll copy and paste that for you. Yeah, Shodan's fun too, but you don't need to get into Shodan for a lot of this stuff if you know what to punch into the other search engines. Yeah, if you're looking to break into things, learn the common forms of config files, because the other thing that are really fun to Google Dork, if you really want to get into it, learn the common extensions of splat files for various editors. Like Vim, Nano, and Emacs will make a copy of the file in place and usually put something on the end, like a tilde or something like that, on the end of the extension. So what ends up happening is a lot of web servers are configured to block access to certain file extensions, because like INIs and, you know, things like that, because, you know, there's something sensitive in there, like how to connect to a database. But this was the trick I did to our Linux admin, where I had him search for a Vim splat file of somebody's config. And yeah, you'll find splat files that didn't get cleaned up that are still sitting out there on the internet because somebody edited a config file live in a website with like Vim or something. Whoops. Google indexes it. So, we should probably wrap up. We're almost at 80 minutes. Last article is from Gizmodo. Hacktivists target citizen leaking the crime app's scraped data onto the dark web. There's going to be fallout from this for a while because people were apparently trying to run vigilante programs through Citizen, which, if anybody doesn't know, Citizen was this app for your smartphone where you can do citizen reporting of crimes to police and tracking things like reports, GPS data, and things like that. You're supposed to be capturing this data. But people were apparently acting as vigilantes on here and some other things like that. So somebody broke into it and dumped all their data on the dark net. So, I didn't see where it actually got dumped. They just said Tor. So whatever. But Citizen is trying to call it a non-story and is, you know, trying to downplay it. But apparently a bunch of their data got dumped out there. So, yeah, if you used it, you might be concerned, but other than that, it might be interesting reading. Because, yeah, you've got, the actual quote from the people who put it out there was fuck snitches, fuck citizen, fuck Andrew Frame, and remember, kids, cops are not your friends. So, you know, I don't know if I agree with that, but it's kind of funny. I do kind of like seeing private companies who think they're going to act as the police get taken down a peg. So there's that. But I don't know. You guys have any thoughts on the citizen hack?
Kind of depends on what the program was. Were they actually just turning this information over to the police?
It's supposed
or were
to be.
Private citizens going out and trying to bust heads? Because I'm opposed to vigilantism, but I'm fine with cooperating with the police because I don't want drug dealers in my neighborhood if they're bringing in violent people.
Well, I think that's the thing, is that the app was originally intended to collect information that they could eventually turn over to the police, but you did have people using it to try to, you know, go be Batman.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, because Batman is, you might be going after a bad guy, but there's a good chance you're going after some innocent dude that's just looked weird or, I don't know.
Dude,
vigilantism's bad because it can hurt innocent people.
I just landed on a whole dump of JPEG pictures of bone screws and fucking wounds and shit.
Are you?
Dude, this is a... I don't know what... Oh, get the fuck out! Oh, that was gross. This is some medical data.
You know, started Google dorking in a show?
Oh, dude, I haven't done this in years. Oh, that's fucking deformed.
You know, I'll tell you what, if you want to...
getting out of that.
If you want a really, really easy way to get started with finding random shit on people's servers, there's a subreddit called Open Directories. It's mostly people's, like, media servers and stuff getting caught. But, HIPAA, eat your heart out. Okay, yeah, whatever. But it's like, you know, if you really want to dig into that, go check out the subreddit Open Directories. People post what they find. So occasionally you find really amusing things in there. But yeah, no, the good old-fashioned Google dork to find directories that really aren't meant to be public. Another thing, if you can figure out a company's naming scheme for user accounts, it's usually something like first initial, last name, search for that with a tilde in front of it, because
isn't this a good-looking couple?
You'll find people's home directories that are shared out. It's amazing how many places. Are you? What are you?
I'm seeing some couples' happy photo snaps. See if they got a sex tape in this. Look, you've done morphs. There's another one too. A camera website. That it takes the hard work out of it.
If we're gonna do it, I mean, let's go.
Yeah. I'm trying to find the camera one that I used to have.
Oh, those get shut down all the time. People get pissed off at the camera ones. But, yeah.
Oh, this is how people find those baby monitors on the internet. Yeah. Another thing that should not be on the internet.
So, well, that's actually where Shodan's useful, right? Because you figure out the device IDs, go punch them into Shodan. 9 times out of 10, devices like that have no security on them. You just need to know what URL to hit. So.
Insecure cam, I told.
So, actually, today's Digital Dojo, or tonight's Digital Dojo, is really good to consider talking about with, you know, talking about all this Google dorking stuff. So on Zero Sex blog, which is blog.zsec.uk, they have a really nice write-up on, okay, we'll copy that. Here you go, rats, have fun. This is somebody's camera index. They have I'll put that link in closing thoughts so we can put it in the show notes. Why not? They have a really nice write-up on setting up SSH securely. How to do keys, multi-factor, and, you know, even login notifications to some things if you really want to get in there, down to rate limits, changing the port so you're at least on a somewhat obscured setup. It's actually a pretty good write-up. I skimmed through it earlier and I liked what I saw. You know, because they talk about actually setting up your firewall, setting up fail to ban, you know, changing ports, things like that, so that you really make it hard to find your server and accidentally connect to it. And then they even get into port knocking and things like that, which I'm not a fan of port knocking because I used to, honestly, I tried it in the early days. these programs are probably a lot better than they are now. I still cringe whenever I see an Intel graphics driver, because I had a, you know, Intel M laptop, you know, for early years at college. So it's like, oh, that's not going to be able to do jack when I see an Intel graphics card, even though I know modern ones are way better. So, but yeah, it's a nice write-up on SSH security. So definitely recommend that if you're going to be running servers. And yeah, it even talks about setting up notifications to common chat platforms that somebody's just logged into your server, which might be worth doing if you, you know, really wanting to make sure that nobody gets in, or if you're serious about your security, which you probably should be. So, and the cat is chewing on power cables. One moment. Knock that off. Hey! Anyways, is port knocking brute forcing SSH? Oh, no. Okay. Port knocking is where you have a program that blocks the port of a server or service on your server, which is just an identifier number in the packet. But what it's doing is it's watching your connection. So all the ports will appear closed. Like if I hit your system with nmap and you're running a port knocked server, it's going to come back closed. Everything, it's going to look like there's nothing running there. But what it's really doing is it's watching to see that I try to connect on port 801 and then on port 2005 and then on port, you know, 6335 or something like that. And then I try to connect to the SSH port and it will magically be open. So it's sort of like using port numbers as a blind password. So the idea with port knocking is I have to knock on the right ports, and then that opens the door to the real service. It's actually really interesting because it does a great job of obscuring the fact that there's a service there from somebody casually running a scanner. The problem I had with it was that I didn't find it to be terribly reliable. If you had a lot of people hammering on your server or scanning it, or your server was just very busy, your knocked ports, because they're blocked, might get dropped before the server actually sees and logs it. Or because you're trying to connect on goofy ports, they might be, you know, it might be something like an ISP or a VPN, if you're using that, is blocking those ports, so the port knock can't work. So, or, you know, maybe you accidentally stumble into a port that's, you know, used by a piece of malware, so it gets blocked and things like that. So I've just had bad luck every time I've tried to set one up, and that it would work, like, it would take like three tries to get logged into your server, right? When you're trying to fix a TeamSpeak server being down, that can be kind of frustrating. So it's an interesting technology, and it's probably way better than the last time I played with it, because it's been a bit. But personally, I had bad luck the first time I tried to set it up. So, but yeah, we, you know, do you guys have any thoughts on SSH? Or, I mean, we already did a pretty good dojo segment on Google dorking. So.
This person had a lovely time in Venice.
We've awakened the dragon.
He's looking at all the things that should not be on the internet.
That is the absolute right statement, Madman. Why are you posting this shit on the internet? Because they don't realize it's going on the internet 9 times out of 10.
Okay. Index of creative / secret / family images.
Creative secret family images sounds like it should come back something horrible.
That's what I'm looking
creative
for.
Creative is probably the name of some, you know, internet connected hard disk or storage platform or something. And then the rest of it's just, you know, folders. So.
Little Asian kid doing the high five? Wow. In that one. Well, have fun. Rats. Remember, if you find any good ones, save them. Send them to me.
Anyways, that's all I have for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday, the Galaxy 15 radio site and subreddit. And again, as a reminder, of as I've mentioned several times and will probably mention over the next couple of weeks, last few weeks of June, first couple of weeks of July, probably going to be taking a break because I'm going to be tearing my infrastructure apart. So, you know, are you, if you want to bring back IHN while I'm dealing with that, we can talk, but,
I won't be IHN, man.
Have to figure out how you want to set that up because all of my audio gear is going to be ripped apart because I have to move.
No,
it.
I'm going to be taking hiatus as well. I've probably got jury duty during that time.
Oh yeah. Okay. Oh, you meant it like if we decided to end Pure Decking at show 500 or something.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're going to do that, I'd spin something up, you know.
Well,
at least a half hour a week. I enjoy doing it.
500 is a good number to stop at if we're going to stop, but I don't know. I wasn't really meaning about stopping the show, really. I was meaning more about what do we want to do with the website? Do we really still want to keep a 24/7 audio stream going, even though we haven't really, you know, done much with music lately and things like that? So, again, call out there to everybody in the IRC or on the subreddits. If you have suggestions, things you'd like to see on the website or the shows, I mean, Rats was suggesting we try to get interviews with people. I don't know if we want to do that. DPView, do we want to stay on Freenode? I don't know. I know a lot of people are moving to LibreChat, and they're not real happy with the guy who's in charge of Freenode anymore. We went with Freenode just because that was kind of an easy default back in the day. I'm open to moving it to LibreChat. I have no particular love of Freenode. It was just easy at the time. Especially since we have an IRC portal right on the front of the webpage. So if we move it, it's not like it's hard to find. I'm open to ideas on that. And I want to keep us with our own hosted infrastructure, right? I don't want to get into, oh, now we're a Twitch channel or some other bullshit like that, because like we said at the beginning of the show, we'll get banned in like 3 seconds. Somebody will make a joke and that'll be that. But are you still finding shit? That's all I got. Anything? Are you closing thoughts?
I'm too much fun, man. I don't give a fuck. Later.
Madman closing thoughts.
Don't date a chick that doesn't have natural hair color. That is nature's way of saying she's crazy and will stab you in your sleep.
The real problem with Twitch is they want a video feed, and I don't want to fuck with video. You all don't need to see me, and I don't need to make a mask again. So, but you should not use it. Okay, yeah, because it sucks. All right, that's we're not really going to do something like that. We're going to stick with our own infrastructure. I'm just trying to figure out what I want to do. So.
Oh, if we do Twitch, we need to do super, super close-ups of random body parts and play Name That Curve.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Johnson goes down and call tonight.
Shut up, Wesley.